Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to NSPC Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ansh Manek from Equirus Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. On behalf of Equirus Securities, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY23 earnings conference call of NSPC Limited. From the management, we have with us today Mr. Surendra Kumar Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director, Ms. Bhanu Kumar, Director of Commercial, Mr. Subrata Sarkar, Director of Finance, and Mr. Ajay Kumar Rai, Company Secretary. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, and then we can open the line for question and answers. I now hand over call to Mr. Surendra Kumar Gupta. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Our financial results are out in yesterday's board meeting, and I'm very happy to share the company results with you, with all our investor community. We have achieved our main couple of main highlights. As far as the total volume of business is concerned, we have a growth of around 120% against 136,000 crore. We have achieved the total e-sale, e-commerce business of more than 300,000 crore in financial year 2022-23. As far as our revenues from e-commerce is concerned, it's a growth of around 18.66% from 294 crore to 348 crore. There is decent growth in the profit also. Profit before tax, PBT, has increased from 220 crore to 313 crore. That's rise of more than 42%. Profit after tax has increased from 200 crore to 239 crore. That's a growth of around 19%, more than 19%. One good thing that should be reassuring to all of you, and of course it is reassuring for management also, we had promised that the provisioning thing is, will be the, we have done all the provisioning, and now it will be history. Last year we had done a provision of around 38.54 crore, and this year it is minus 25 crore. Basically, some of it we have got back. That is a very good sign for the company and for the future results also for the company. That is why our profit before tax and profit after tax in consolidated terms also has risen quite handsomely. We have done various flagship projects in last financial year, some of which we have been always sharing with you during our quarterly interactions, some of which like spectrum auctions we have already shared with you. Apart from the mines auction, we have done large number of mines auctions this time. Total mines auctions in the current last financial year was 86 coal mine blocks have been successfully allotted, and 94 major mineral blocks have been sold through our portal. Another thing of interest to all our investors will be that this ELV policy has gained lot of traction, and more than 17 states have already announced their policies about as far as the ELV's condemnation and the ELV rules are in place. MoRTH has nominated NSPC for launching a portal for disposal of all central and state government ELVs So all these vehicles are being sold now on MSTC portal, where we are earning service charges. Apart from that, the RVSFs, all the RVSF, including RVSF of MSTC Joint Venture Company, MMRPL, so they are also getting the vehicles through this route. Last year we sold around more than 2,000 vehicles, central state government vehicles. This year again the speed has picked up, and at the end of first quarter we'll be able to give you a very handsome figure for the sale of government vehicles. So this is all in brief I wanted to tell you before I hand over to our Director Commercial and then Director Finance for give you slightly more detailed analysis of the finances. Madam.
Yeah, good afternoon to everybody. As our CMD has already highlighted, the volume this year has been phenomenal, and a major contributor to this volume has been the coal block allocation that has been done through our portal. So that has contributed significantly to the volume, apart from the spectrum and other mineral blocks. Apart from that, the major highlights of the performance has been that we have sold a lot of power plants, redundant power plants of state utilities and DVC. That has actually, given the volumes as well as good earnings for the company. Power plants belong to DVC, Uttar Pradesh, Rajya Vidyut Utpadan Nigam, Telangana State Power Generation, and the total volume from these plant sale is about 1,100 crores. Then coal that is sold through our portal, it is sold in two different models. One is called the linkage model, where it is sold to some specified sector of users, and the other to the open public at large. So this specified linkage option, as we call, that also had a significant increase in volume, and it was sold to the tune of about 4,400 crores in the last year. But then we have signed agreements with some private sector big entities for sale of their iron ore, so continuing with what we had done last year also. So now more and more private sector entities are also reposing their faith in our portal and the transparency and features built into that. And for the first time, we have sold some intangible assets like technology transfer and trademarks, and this we have done for some six PSUs like Bharat Pumps and Compressors and Scooters India Limited. So this again holds a lot of potential for us in the future. We have also successfully sold some small aircrafts for the Airport Authority of India. And we have associated with certain small software companies, and going forward this holds large potential for our e-solutions for various clients. One of the work that we have done, which I would like to highlight here, is a billing software that we had developed earlier, that now we have enlarged with scope to include having a GPS system, integration with the existing software that our clients had, and access monitoring and fraud prevention also built into that. We are also in the process of adopting some new technologies, probably in the near future that will also pay good dividends. Now, as far as financial highlights are concerned, I would hand over to Mr. Subrata Sarkar, our Director of Finance.
Good afternoon to everybody. So the snapshots are already there, and we have also seen the results. So let me repeat. Like this year, the total revenue has, standalone basis has gone at this. But here I would like to emphasize, let us go by the net revenue, which has increased. Because this year we have done away with our same purchase and associate model. Accordingly, we are based on the service charge model only. So EBITDA is little bit, the free provisioning is little bit down, and so PBT has also gone up. It is gone up to some 220 to 313 crores. Profit after tax has also gone up from 200 to 239. And EPS has also naturally has gone up from 28.42 to 233.98. And cash profit is also there. In the segmental part, if you can see that e-commerce is a major segment, and it has contributed 348 crores and the revenue in the revenue and 115 from the marketing. So total expenses between 45 and profit before tax is of course 313.47 and after tax is 239.22. And it is a growth year-to-year growth of 19.58 in case of PAT, and PBT is 42.46 year-to-year growth. And in the consolidated results also, again, the revenue already has consolidated revenue is little bit, but of course, in the net part, it has increased. And EBITDA is a little bit, the piece of the revenue is a little bit lower. But the profit before tax has also gone up from 232 to 329, rise on year-to-year basis of 41%, and profit after tax is 241.95 as compared to 199.09, rise of 21.53. Of course, EPS is also up. So if you go by the summary PL statement, this is a replica of that, and which explains that our revenue from operation is a little bit lower, but if you go by the net revenue, we have increased on a standalone basis as well as in the consolidated basis also. Dividing by the lesser employee expenses, benefit expenses, and lesser provisioning, as CMD has already highlighted, we have gone up from 220, PBT has gone up from 220 to 313.47. And that from 200 to 239.23. So that's all from our side. Hand over to you.
Should we open up for questions?
Yes,
please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant only. The first question is on the line of Prakash Bhuva, an individual analyst. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon to everybody. I would like to know how many centers we will open in different parts of the country as portals, so that we can get maximum number of vehicles for scrappages. And what will be the provision for realization of scrap, steel and rubber and other important material from the components? Apart from the commission of 2.5%, what will be the sharing basis of other realization and components of the vehicle? So, and how many centers will open in the year? Thank you. That's all.
Yeah, right now we have six centers we had already last year. Three more centers we have opened. Out of which one at Guwahati has already got the approval. As far as the Karnataka, Bangalore is concerned, it is under advanced stage of approval. Then the third center in Fatehgarh Sahib in Punjab. Some time, but we have already on way in setting up this center. That may take a couple of more months. So three more centers. So total nine centers as of now. And we are planning to have couple of more centers in the current financial year. the second part of is whatever the material that we derive from the dismantling of the vehicles, there are basically two parts. One is the scrap and second is the spares. So scrap is sold in the open auctions, in the open market.
Yeah.
And the spares again, we have a portal where the spares are sold. And spares, whatever the sale or revenue figures for MMRP here, spares are a good percentage of that. So that is basically two broad classification, scrap as well as the spares that we sell from these vehicles. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. How many vehicles we plan to scrap in a year? Can you give some rough idea? Possible idea. From Karnataka is having 8 lakh vehicles, I can say. 80 lakh, Karnataka only. So could you give some idea as to what will be the process of disposal and quarter after quarter, how many centers will open in India now? At Pune and other places, how many centers will be still open? In Guwahati is opened, I think, I have seen in the presentation. So how many more centers you will open so that work will be speed up? As our Minister, Mr. Gadkari has said, to expedite the process of scrapping, and more vehicles will come.
That's right. You see, we are planning to open multiple centers. I cannot give you the figure. I mean, what I will say.
Can you give some idea, some color on that? Some color on number of centers we open. Say 30, 40, 50.
No. We are basically planning to set up the center in almost all major states. So that could be around 25 centers in a couple of years, right? But much will depend upon how much vehicles we are able to source. Right now, the people are not coming forward to sell their vehicles to RVSF because of the price difference which RVSF can offer and which a normal kabadi wala can offer. So for that, for to plug that gap, there is a one very positive development. CPCB has issued the guidelines for this scrapping and processing of ELVs. So one major difference for this price was the engine. The unorganized players used to recycle that engine and sell it at a quite handsome price. So that they have now back, so that engine cannot no longer be recycled, so that has to be a hole has to be bought into that. So that will give us some push, and as we get more vehicles, we are open to basically more number of centers. So basically we are watching the situations. Another aspect of this policy is not only RVSF center, second is ATS, automatic testing centers, testing stations. That have to come over the state where the public will go for testing the vehicle as per the policy laid down by the various states, commercial vehicle and passenger vehicle. So unless the ATS are in place, the vehicles will not come to RVSF. So this is again going to take a year or so before sufficient number of ATS are in place and we get the vehicles in large number. So as and when the vehicle comes, we are ready to set up more and more centers. And we are in a couple of years, we are planning to have 25 centers covering Pan India. I hope I have answered your question. Definite number cannot be given at this stage.
What about...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Bhuva. May we request that you return to the question queue. There are participants waiting for the answer.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. The next question is in the line of Pratesh Cheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Can you share the progress in the e-sales, scrap sales, basically, in FY23? What would be the growth there? And what is it as now as a proportion of your e-commerce revenue?
Oh, okay.
See, in the year 2023, the scrap played a major role in the e-commerce revenue. It was more than 50%, as against slightly less than 50% in the last couple of years. The volume from scrap, total e-commerce revenue was about 288.60 crores, out of which about 168 crores was from scrap alone.
And what will be the growth, YOY?
See, e-commerce overall growth we are expecting and what we have witnessed in the last couple of years.
No, no. My question is, 158 crores was the scrap sales number in FY23, right?
Yeah.
Out of what is that growth? 158 versus what number?
No, no. There cannot be any number as such. See, the thing is, scrap, it arises and it is linked to the ferrous market as such. It depends on the steel prices. It depends on what is the, you know, how much.
Ma'am, I understand that. I am asking 158 crore in FY23. What was the same number in FY22?
No, we cannot.
Just a second. You said last year it was 135 crore.
Okay. Understood.
168 crore. That's a growth of around 25%.
Yeah, okay. That was because of plant sales. So that doesn't happen every year.
Okay. So and what is. Yeah, you have moved your number from, let's say, the e-com business has now moved from 290 crores in FY22 to about 340 crores now in FY23, 348. What is the growth now do you expect on this number?
Yeah, it's very difficult to give basically the future projections. But as the things stand, lot of government sectors, private sector is laying emphasis. And with the Government of India policy, cleaner policy, lot of scrap is coming to us. So whatever growth momentum has been there for last couple of years, we are hoping to maintain that. So we are working hard to maintain that at least.
Okay. My second question is, ma'am, when you look at the balance sheet, there is an increase in the other financial liability and there is a corresponding increase in the cash. Can you explain what is this? And second, if I have to understand your balance sheet, what actually will be the net cash in your balance sheet? Will you have net cash and what will be that number?
Yeah. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah. So, it's very simple. First, I answer your second question. That is very relevant to you. That is, what is your net cash? So, look at our balance sheet. Our tangible net worth is coming out to around 420 crores. So, you can equate less certain receivables. So, it is around 400 crores. We can say that we have a tangible net worth and that is our own cash. That we can say. Very precisely in accounting terms, what we can say as an account. Okay.
Okay.
Coming back to your first question, like there are some certain temporary inflow outflow in our business. So that is there in the happening in, so that the cash and cash equivalent has also increased as well as the other financial liabilities has also increased. But what you rightly pointed out, what is our net cash? It is around 400 crores. That is our cash equivalent.
Then what is the progress on the private customer side, if you recall?
Oh, sorry to interrupt, Mr. Cheda. May we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is in the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is related to the end-of-life vehicle business which we started this quarter. So you mentioned that in the previous call, you mentioned that the end-of-life vehicle of only the government part would be around 15 lakh and we have sold around 2,100 this year. And I think the deadline was 31st March, next year. So do you expect that a significant part of that 15 lakh can come up in FY24? And related to that is you also mentioned that till 31st March, portal will be on a fixed fee and from 1st April, it will be on a percentage basis. So just to confirm that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, up to 31st March, the number of vehicles were, because it was just the beginning of the policy. So as I had already given you the figure, around 2,000 vehicles were sold in the last financial year. So, I mean, these are the government vehicles I'm talking about, right? As far as the, I mean, one part of it is 15 lakh government vehicles. So it's very difficult to estimate the vehicles, the count of vehicles. So, so we are getting so many figures. So we are not hazarding any guess. But now what the traction we are getting from most of the departments, most of the state governments are now in touch with us. Either they have offered us vehicles or they are in the process of offering vehicles. So I can give you a very rough figure. Around 10,000 vehicles are already there in pipeline, which are under sale here, under auction, right? So this is gaining more and more traction, and we are hopeful that this year, good part of the government vehicles will come to our portal. It will have two benefits for us. So it will earn us a service charge and RVSF, in which we are we also a partner. So they will also get their much desired raw material.
Okay, and just to mention, so let's say if we have sold 2,100 vehicle last year, what would be the rough per vehicle sale price?
Very difficult to say. It's such a unique mix. From two wheeler. And defense vehicles, many times are very heavy vehicles, four-wheelers, three-wheelers, so all kind of vehicles are there. So very...
A broad range vehicle would also be fine.
Could be around 30,000-40,000.
Okay, 30,000-40,000. Okay, and right now, this regulation is only for the government vehicles. The private vehicle, they are not mandated. They can do on their own, but they are not having any deadline.
This, as I explained, you see, there are two parts of it. I explained it that for private also, the government has laid down that after so many years, you will have to get it tested before it gets registered with RTO, right? So for that, one mandatory requirement is automatic testing center. So those testing centers are still being set up by various states, by various private entrepreneurs. So that is slightly taking more time as compared to the setting up of RVSF. So once that system gets into place, it is getting again like RVSF. It has taken a couple of years. ATS also is now getting traction. Governments are also setting up under JV or PPP mode. Private investors are also setting the ATS center. So once the ATS centers are in place, perforce the private vehicle, after passing the life which has been mandated, will go to ATS, and if it fails, then it will automatically come to RVSF. So basically that will be the turning point when private vehicles will actually start coming to RVSF. This is one thing. Second thing is we have opened our portal also for selling these private vehicles in our same portal. Even a person like I and me, individual person who has got a single vehicle, he can post his vehicle detail and RVSF will contact him, will pass on the information to RVSF. They will contact him for buying that vehicle. So that facility also we have given to the general public, and we are popularizing this policy, this portal.
Okay. And my second
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Doshi.
Yeah. And all investors also can popularize this policy. It's mutually beneficial. So that is what appeal from our side to all of you. Yeah, please.
Thank you. Yeah. The next question is in the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Garg. Sir, your audio is not clear. Can you use the handset mode while speaking?
Sure, madam.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, on 20th of April, a news item appeared that Coal India's e-auction platform will go live on May and within 3 months all the transactions will all the auctions will move to move there from MSPC and M Junction. Also, sir, on 20th April 2023 in Economic Times news article came that public sector banks are launching their own e-auction app to sell approximately 5 lakh realty assets which are currently being sold through MSPC. Sir, so I hope you are at least aware of these developments. And sir, what is your comments on the same?
Okay. First question regarding Coal India. With this announcement, we are very much aware. They had asked all their existing bidders to register on their portal. But thereafter, there was a new policy, which was, it's called the new agnostic policy for coal sales. That actually is meant for, not linking the customers to any particular coalery. It is more of an agnostic policy where any bidder can take material from anywhere. So after that, there was a lot of customization that we had to do in the portal. So whatever work was done by Coal India with NIC for coal sale, that had to be abandoned and fresh development had to take place. Now this is going to, as we understand from the inputs that we are getting from Coal India and other sources, this is going to take some time. So for this year, we are hopeful that coal business will continue. And as far as the NPA auction for the nationalized banks is concerned, the IBAPI portal, we are aware that PSB Alliance has floated a tender and they are in this process. But what the message actually is coming out is that they are going to have a new system. Actually, all these nationalized banks already have a portal called IBAPI, where all the NPAs are first listed, all details, all branches, they are all linked and mapped to that. What we are offering is only an extension of that for the bidding process. Now, the new portal that these people are planning to develop is to replace the old IBAPI portal. It's a whole new portal itself, which will be having these activities also included in that. As far as bidding is concerned, nothing is mentioned regarding this activity in their portal. So at least for this year, we are hopeful that this IBAPI business is also with us. Going forward, this is definitely going to take quite some time because this portal has been mandated by the Department of Financial Services, and for getting that kind of credibility and for certification and all, it is going to take some time. So till such time, NSPC is going to offer the services.
And I'll supplement here. We are always, wherever any such development is taking place, we are always in touch with the principal so that any new development that takes place, NSPC is a part of it. So that is our continuous endeavor in that direction. Yeah, please.
Sir, I hope, sir, that this trend does not exacerbate and accelerate, because since scrap is an ongoing thing, then each big customer can eventually come out with their own portal, and I don't know where MSPC will be left. But I think at least for this year, we are fine. And so my second question is that, sir, our e-commerce revenues went up by 19% year-on-year from 294 to around 349 crore last year. But sir, if you look at consolidated cash flow statement, then the operating profit before working capital changes is 279 crore versus 271 crore last year. So which means a measly growth of less than 3% in our operating cash flow if we take out all the one-off income. So what are your comments on the same?
You're looking at that.
Sir, your audio is not sounding clear. Can you come a little closer?
Yeah. Right now, is it clear?
Sir, slightly better.
Yeah. Now it is, I think, clear.
Sir, please proceed.
So, when you are comparing that, you are taking the figure from that segmental reporting, correct?
No. I am talking about consolidated cash flow statement, which is the next page from your consolidated balance sheet.
Yeah. There are two things. One, is a standalone performance, one is a consolidated. Okay. So consolidated comprises of our subsidiary FSRL also. So when you look at both in that way, so of course this operating profit has gone up by very a meager percentage. You cannot compare, it's a group as a whole we are comparing. So if we let us go by the standalone also. So in the standalone part also we have improved, but of course not that. So but there is a growth. There is not that key, there is not a growth at all. So consolidated, of course, there is a in the FSRL part there is not that much of growth as compared to NSTP. So in a overall view, it has gone down. That's the point.
Sir, so basically our...
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Garg, may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn. Thank you, sir. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Viraj Mahadevia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. I noticed that there's so much working capital release in the current financial year and the consolidated cash flows, generating an operating cash flows of 886 crores. Is this sustainable? And what has happened with other financial liabilities going up so much? They spiked from 787 to 1350 crores.
Yeah. So just now, before I was talking to you, I answered another question also. You see, these are some phenomena are very temporary in nature. But our actual, if you go by the liquidity position, our actual standalone basis, our actual cash tangible net worth is around 400 plus crores. So that is the cash that we have, our own cash. So sometimes temporary part is there. That's why our cash and cash equivalent also gets increased. Vis-a-vis, that other liability that we are talking about, that also gets into. These are temporary flows during the course of our business. So that is not that is a permanent feature. Permanent feature is our own cash. So that is around 400 to 500 crores. That's the position, sir. That you can easily derive from that network part.
Right. I see 1,500 crores of net cash on books. 1,500 crores of cash, including bank balance on books, with a market cap of 2,200 crores, and you made FD investments of about 600 crores in financial year 23. Why isn't the company considering doing a buyback or paying out higher dividends with such kind of cash flow, especially when you're generating 200 odd crores of free cash flow every year?
Just now I had answered. So right now, this year also, we had almost distributed dividend 50% of our PAT. But you can see.
That's under 100 crores, right?
Yeah, 100 plus. 100, huh. So under that's the 50% almost we have already distributed. And balance, of course, is there. And we are looking for certain growth prospects. So, of course, that much of cash should remain with the company. So that is the point. When we are looking at the consolidated position, there is two companies involved there. One is the FSNL and another is the NSTC. NSTC is having cash, as I told you, around 400 plus own cash. Likewise, FSNL. FSNL has got its own cash flow requirements because it is looking at the servicing industry and giving services to the steel plants for scrap recovery. So, if we leave apart the temporary part, so we are having certain amount of cash that we are planning to have some certain growth. For that requirement, certain cash cushion should always remain in the company. That we will appreciate.
Right, okay. I mean, it doesn't sound like you need to maintain such a large cash balance, but the point accepted. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Ganguly from Nine Rivers Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. We are new to the company, so with your permission, I would like to, ask a couple of basic questions. So in marketing for the year 23, would it be fair to assume that these are purely the 115 odd crores of revenue that you have booked is purely service income and there is no purchase and sales of any, transaction that has gone through your books?
Yes. This is completely only service income.
Okay. And the service income is again on a percentage basis of a GBT or is it on a fixed fee basis?
Percentage basis of the revenue transacted. Let me explain you very fast, very vividly. The marketing that we are taking that like that, it comprises of that segmental revenue from Hanan Kitchen that we have seen. That it comprises certain write-backs and etc. So we charge in the marketing on a fixed percentage basis on the amount of volume traded. That stands as percentage on the amount traded.
And one request in you know, if you look at the e-commerce revenue, it looks like everything, whatever you all book, flows down straight to the bottom line, while in the case of other, there are unallocated expenses and so on and so forth. So going forward, if you all can do the, you know, the revenue booking and the expense allocation better, it will be helpful from the investors' perspective.
Let me answer you. Going forward, that with our trading are very meager amount. Going forward, we may allocate that our expenses, reallocate the expenses accordingly, depending upon the requirement of the accounting standards. Of course, the solution is not noted.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Srinivas Reddy, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr.
Yes, thanks. Regarding this professional disinvestment, what is the progress you have made for at least this financial year? You are hopeful that it will be done?
You see, Deepam is driving that process. They are taking all the calls after doing all the due diligence, and we cannot as such give a timeline for when it will be done. But I will just inform you that Deepam is taking whatever necessary action is required for the disinvestment. So no timeline can be given as such at this point of time.
But what is the progress you meant to say? I mean, the plant visits and all those things were there in the newspapers reporting that prospective buyers are visiting the plants. Last quarter, yeah. There were some news.
Yeah, we have also read it. So the process is ongoing. The process is ongoing. Some part has been completed. Some part is yet to be done. So Deepam is taking care of all those things.
Oh, my second question is regarding this scrappage vehicles. So what is the margin mode of calculation? Is it percentage basis of the value or fixed per vehicle which is accruing to the MSTC?
This is on percentage basis, and we have started charging from 1st of April, whatever transactions we are doing from 1st of April. On that, there is some percentage basis charge.
What about e-commerce margins? Because they have been stagnating for many years. I mean, we are unable to scale the e-commerce business because other private enterprises are growing 50%, 40%, and we are growing in low teams and high teams only.
No, that's not right. Last year we grew our e-commerce income by around 30%. This year also is a growth of around 18-19%. So that's a quite handsome growth for any standard. And despite the downtime, downward trend in the scrap price and iron ore prices, right? And coal prices also were a bit down.
And so, volumes, sir. Volumes, actually, if you see, we are probably transacting the highest volume in the country, 3 lakh crore plus.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Jain from REH Investment Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question would be regarding the Hyderabad plots which are coming for sale, and you guys are targeting Hyderabad and especially Telangana. Any plans to foray to some other cities like New Delhi, NCR, Bangalore? And what kind of margins do we enjoy?
Can you repeat your question? It wasn't clear.
Yeah, my question is regarding Hyderabad and Telangana plots are coming to our portal and we have been selling that. And firstly, I want to know that what kind of margins are we enjoying on this? And secondly, any plans to foray into some other states like Punjab, Delhi, NCR, Mumbai?
Yeah, actually, we are in touch with many of the development authorities for sale of plots and everything. But what happens is in many states, they have the government portals and they mandate that, you know, these transactions should happen through that portal. However, we are still trying to expand this line. And as far as the revenue that you were talking about, it is on fixed basis. This is on per event basis. So as and when we have an event, we charge some event charges.
So what kind of margin is it? 1 or 2, 3%?
No, it is not percentage at all. Sometimes, you know, they may be transacting just about 100 crores and we get say 20 lakhs or 25 lakhs or 30 lakhs. And whether they transact 100 crores or 1000 crores or 15,000 crores, we get only that sum. So it's not linked to the volume. And
okay,
if there is no sale, then also we get some revenue. So it's either way.
Sure. And my second question would be regarding on the scrappage front. So whatever government vehicle, PSU vehicle comes, it has to come to our portal only?
Yeah, it has to come to MSTC portal only.
So 27 lakh vehicles would come to our portal and we will be charging 3% on every vehicle, whatever vehicle is sold to RVSF, right?
Yeah, we'll be charging 3%, but we are not sure of how many will come to us, although government has mandated. So, but the count is not still very clear. There are few figures floating around. So, this is because the RTO process is not automated online data with both of these states, so there's a discrepancy in the figure. But whatever government vehicle will be sold, that will be on our mandatory to be sold on our portal.
Okay, and just like previously you mentioned that almost 10,000 vehicles are in pipeline to be scrapped. So can we expect a good revenue for Q1 onwards from this front?
Definitely.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Kasturi from Focus Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. So first of all, thank you, sirs and madam, for, you know, adding more details to your presentation. This was a request last time and thank you for taking it in. I have one more request to you. If you could just please present the numbers in crores and not lakhs, it would just make it more readable, sir.
We will definitely do it.
Thank you. That's a request. I have one question on the balance sheet, on the consolidated balance sheet. We said that our provisions have gone down in the P&L, but when you look at the consolidated balance sheet, the provision has actually gone up from 62 crores to about 70 crores. So what am I missing here, sir?
Yeah. You see, those are the two different figures. When we talk about the provision, what we do in the P&L, it is on the trade receivables. Generally, we make the provision. Okay. So and the provisions that you are looking at the balance sheet, these are the provisions for the expenses. So, like, it will go up because certain benefit expenses, certain actuarial valuation things that has to be added up on a console basis because, you know, it is a combination of MSTC and FSNL both, and both have different dynamics. So, like, that is the two different aspects that I want to tell you. So, that's the point. It cannot correlate both because there are two different things altogether. Provisions, they appear as the makeup provisions in the balance sheet. The provision that we are seeing is the provisions for general expenses.
All right, sir. One second, very quick question, sir. The 110% bank guarantee that we get, so I'm assuming that does not go through the books of MSTC.
No, it doesn't. Only the service revenue.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Pratesh Cheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to check on the progress of the private customers on your portal. Some years back, you had given to the exchange your tie-ups with Reliance and Larsen and all these and given out some numbers. So what is the progress now of these customers on your portal?
Yeah, actually the number of private sector clients is increasing from day to day. Reliance is transacting a little less volume, but as far as L&T, Tata Power, Vedanta, these people are concerned, the volume of scrap trade is also quite good through our portal, Bharti Airtel, Indus Towers and all. They are our main customers as far as scrap is concerned. Now for iron ore also, we have roped in JSW, ArcelorMittal, Vedanta Group. So they are also, they are selling their iron ore through our portal. So the number of products that we are selling for the private sector is also going up. Apart from these, then we also have a lot of, confiscated goods by the customs of the clearing agency, CFS units. All over India, we are selling material for them. So that also gives some good volume for us.
So private is what portion of your e-commerce revenue now, contribution?
We are not maintaining basically figures like that as of now. So we'll take it as a suggestion and see whether we can have our accounting where we can have that kind of estimate.
But any guess that you want to share? Is it 5%, 10%, 2%?
It's not a very major sum, so definitely we want to.
Okay, no problem. And my second question is...
Interrupt, Mr. Chera. May we request that you...
Ma'am, it's just a follow-up, ma'am.
So there are participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dikshit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
My first question is regarding this trade receivable. If we see on a standalone balance sheet, it is around 333 crore. Yes. Can you just break it up between the e-commerce and the marketing?
Yeah. So, likely, yes. I'm giving you that breakup. Like, if we go to the trade receivable 333, so our e-commerce... is around 50 crores, our balance is in our associate model and 110% BG model, and all are CTOs, that's what I can tell you, because our trade receivables have shown a consistently decreased value. As on 31st 2022, it was 407, now we are at 333. So even in the marketing, it is CTO and requires no provision at this juncture, because it basically comprises mainly of the 110% digiback business.
And in terms of marketing business, so, couple of years back, we were thinking that it will completely go out of the balance sheet. But now I think what we are doing is we are continuing with the 110% guarantee-backed business. So this we will continue to do, or is there any plan that we will completely exit the marketing business?
We definitely would like to continue and expand this to the extent possible, because that's completely secure. We are quite sure of the receivables. So definitely we would like to continue and maybe, expand it to the extent possible.
Okay. So it will continue at, let's say, currently whatever run rate we are having, it will continue at that run rate?
No, as of now, in fact, we are doing very minuscule volume, so we would like to expand this.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Sanjay Naik, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. What will be the revenue growth for the next 3 to 5 years for MSPC in a percentage wise?
We cannot give a figure like that. We are definitely targeting for very high growth, but the growth depends upon so many factors. I mean, some of the factors may not be intrinsic to us. It may be some external factors. So What we can assure everybody is that we are expecting and working for the healthy growth. That's all. I'll take the diplomatic answer only. We can give. We cannot give a definite figure as of now.
To your that particular agriculture portal, Jaivik Kheti and all, is there any new developments on that?
No, actually, this is acting more like a knowledge management portal now. So we keep updating the data from time to time, and we are maintaining the portal. The transactions aren't happening, and the ecosystem is not mature enough to have transactions on that as of now.
With postal department for delivering the particular goods and all that.
Yeah, we did that, but somehow it's not really taking off in a big way. I mean, there are a lot of ground level issues, and we don't see it happening in the near future also, because the entire ecosystem, it's not just about, you know, picking up from somewhere and delivering somewhere. You need to have proper packaging, you need to have, you know, picking up from the farm gate, you need to have assaying facilities, testing facilities. So these are not there as of now. So this is going to take quite some time for the ecosystem to be developed.
I'll supplement what madam is saying is, basically MSTC's presence is in B2B market. So it's a basically B2C business. So our focus is on the maintaining the portal. And as far as the end customers are concerned, so that is basically our reach is not basically, I mean, the organization that way is not very large to reach the individual or end mile customers, like these FPOs and all will be at a very distant places in villages and all that. So that's why it's not basically getting that kind of question. But I hope with this government ONDC and all that models could be, we are able to ride that platform and do some business. We will get in touch with that ONDC so that the Jaivik Kheti get some traction on that.
Thank you
so much.
The next question is in the line of Miraj from Ariham Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for my question, taking my question. I just had one clarification doubt. Earlier you mentioned that the cash balance is close to 400 crores, but if I'm looking at the balance sheet standalone, it is cash plus bank balances is a lot higher than that. Can you explain what am I missing here? If I'm reading something incorrectly here.
Yeah. Some interpretation. There was like, which is our own cash, which is our cash in transit. So our own cash, if we go by our tangible network, our own cash, our own owned cash, MSTP owned cash, in the standalone balance sheet, which is around 400 plus crore, it is our own cash that we own. Others are the cashes that are temporary in nature because of our nature of the business. Some cashes remain in transit, in and out. That's why there is the equivalent amount of liability. You see, like in the financial liability, that has also gone up as the cash and cash equivalent and the other bank balances have gone up. So that is the clarification. 400 odds is our own tangible network that we can tell that it is our own cash, and that is a floating cash that keeps on moving up and down in the course of the business.
Understood. Thank you so much. If I have any more questions, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, you mentioned that we had done auctions worth 3 lakh crores last year, and our income in e-commerce was 349 crores. So which means that we are basically getting 0.01% of the auction proceeds. But despite that, our customers are making their own dedicated portal. So that can only imply that I don't think they are much interested in saving that 0.1%, but mostly that they are not satisfied with our portal. So what are your comments about this?
Actually, you are, I think, interpreting it in a different way. I would like to put across that 3 lakh crore worth of goods got transacted through our portal. But I also said that majority of it is the coal blocks and the mineral blocks that added to the volume. So here we are getting on per event basis, per block basis. So if you actually analyze the e-commerce revenue the section wise, we have got about 8 crores from the coal business, iron ore is about 37 crores, scrap is about 168 crores, e-sale is about 70 crores, and so on. E-procurement, of course, is almost insignificant. So the revenue is actually coming from scrap sale, where we are enjoying the numero uno position in the country. And most of the clients that we have not shown any inclination to move away from our portal, even in the near future. As far as the natural resources are concerned, from the Government of India side, again, we are the chosen service provider. There will be some movement here and there as far as Coal India or somebody, but then we are roping in new clients on a daily basis. So that is going to take care of the loss of revenue from people who go away from our portal, and that is few and far between. It is not a phenomena that everybody is going away from us. So most of the business, especially in the scrap sector, is still with us, and with new private sector clients coming up in a big way to us. Definitely, we have proved our worth in the market, and that is why they are coming to us. So at least we are not, seeing any loss of business, especially in the scrap business in the near future. So that is going to augment well for the e-commerce revenue.
Okay, madam. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
You see, one concern of everybody, I'll conclude with this, that in every business, you lose few customers, you gain more customers. So it is always a continuous change and churning. And as far as the MSTC is concerned, its bouquet of services is quite large. The bouquet of customers are quite large. So, and the most of the principals, the departments have full faith in the MSTC's capability and the value MSTC brings. So even if some person charges very less percentage, but they insist with MSTC because we give a very good price, very fair competition. And second, the procedure, the security, safety, transparency are unparalleled. And we are meeting all norms of government procurement, government check. So that is why the customers are having the full faith in MSTC capability. Of course, some business might come, some business might go, but we are maintaining a decent growth in e-commerce after the marketing business is more or less apart from under 10% busy. So our sole focus is on e-commerce, and we are constantly upgrading ourselves, our team, our resources, our portals, so that the customers get much better experience. So that is our continuous process that we are continuing. So with this, I will say that as far as the investors are concerned, I can assure from MSTC management that I hope the investors have been suitably rewarded with the increase in share prices, with the handsome dividends that company is paying to the investors. And those who had faith in MSTC, they have reaped rich dividend. And I believe that we are all working hard with that assurance. I can say that MSTC's strength is intact, and of course it is bound to grow. With that, I will conclude. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Equitas Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.